Welcome to another exciting episode of Real Booze. This is Real Booze, the morning after, where we do the walk of shame. The week after we do a review, we kind of sit there and go over it. Hey, what kind of stuff did we miss?
We talked a little bit about the last movie. The things that I think there are a lot of things that we talked about in the intro for Indiana Jones that we never got to because...
Or we talked about before we started recording.
Yeah. Yeah. So inevitably what happens is we get too drunk while we're watching the movie and we just forget what we were going to talk about.
And it isn't until the next day we remember what now happened exactly last night.
Ken had like 5 pages of notes for last week and I think he abandoned the notes like halfway through the movie because you just, you know, you're enjoying the movie.
Who the fuck needs these things?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's a mess. So we want to try something new here and give kind of a shorter episode as well. I think most of our episodes usually get right around the 2 hour mark.
2-3 hours. This is going to be 15 minutes, 30 minutes.
Yeah. We want to give something that you guys can just kind of enjoy maybe on your drive into work as opposed to trying to sit on your couch, watch a movie and getting shit faced.
Right. You know? Well, I'm going to keep up with these bastards. No, you're not. Yeah. No, you're not.
So this is officially episode number 18.
Officially 18. Two more till 20.
We're legal now. Like, you could take us home and fuck us if you wanted to.
Hell
not
yeah.
Not get in trouble. You know
nice
what I mean?
Nice pack of cigarettes. A nice cigar or something.
So, we can get even dirtier than I guess we used to be.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Two knuckles.
Oh, uncalled for.
Or two fingers, but only one knuckle on each finger.
Okay, all right. That's enough. I'm sorry I took us down this path. So, Indiana Jones.
This is what we did last week. We opened the Ark of the Covenant and found out it was full of nothing but whiskey and angry dead Jews.
and sand and ghosts, apparently.
Sand, some weird those were the angry dead Jews.
Oh, there you go.
That's the only way I can figure out what they were.
There you have it.
And halfway through the episode, for some reason, I was screwing around with the audio. I didn't touch anything. And the settings I had set before we started recording, all of a sudden, boom, it sounded like I was in a well of souls. If you listen to it, it gets all echoey.
I think it was
for a while there.
I think it was the ghost of Indiana Jones himself. Maybe it's maybe Sean Connery. His
it was
dad,
Sean Connery.
Right? Senior. What's his dad's name is?
Well, he's junior, so I guess he would be senior.
Right.
Which, by the way, I wanted to bring up. I didn't put it in my notes here. I started watching the third one the other day.
I love the third one.
It's kind of a tough...
No fucking way. No.
It's... I don't know.
It is on par, in my opinion, with Raiders. It's a step back, but not much of a step back. It's got River fucking Phoenix in it, for Christ's
okay,
sake.
Okay, that shit was cool, but when he's on the boat with the girl, and they got the guys in the fezzes chasing him, and they're like, it explodes, and they go, I was just kind of like, eh.
Dude, I love.
You know what I think it is?
The Last Crusade.
He was wearing a tuxedo, and I think Indiana Jones in a tuxedo totally screws me up.
Well, I mean, he wore a tuxedo in Temple of Doom as well, right at the beginning.
There we go.
Okay, all right. I mean, you know,
maybe
shit.
That's it, I don't
You're
know.
You're not used to seeing him without his hat on.
Yeah. That could be it.
All right, okay, whatever.
I don't know. I just
don't care how you want to fuck Indiana Jones, just as long as you're fucking Indiana Jones.
So long as you're fucking Indiana Jones. We can say that now that this is episode 18.
We're 18,
and we're legal. Yeah.
We're 18 now.
One thing that we did talk about on the main episode and just completely failed to fill in anything on it was the submarine scene. When they go to the island with the subs, what had happened was the Indiana Jones production crew needed submarines. So, at the same time, there was another movie being filmed called Das Boot.
Das Boot?
So, they went to the Das Boot people.
Not to be confused
said,
with actual Das Boot from Beer Fest or underneath my sink in the kitchen over there that we...
Or Mexico.
Occasionally. Or, yeah.
Where we drank the shit out of that thing. What was it? It was 9 minutes?
19.
19 minutes for it to go away?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was 9 minutes.
No.
19
I mean,
isn't
nine
impressive.
Sounds better, but it was 19.
Yeah, it does sound
it
better.
It took 19 to get it done. We still got it done, though.
So, basically, the higher-ups with Indiana Jones went, hey, listen, we need to borrow the models of the submarines you guys are using for that Das Boot movie. And the higher-ups over in Das Boot were like, yeah, no problem. So they, boom, Indiana Jones people came in and raided their...
they raided the Das Boot.
Yeah, they raided the Das Boot submarines. So then, the special effects Das Boot guys show up for work the next day and... The fucking subs are gone. Nobody told them they were getting raided the night before.
This sounds a little bit like the plot of Hunt for the Red October, am I right? Like, the submarine just disappears, and they're like, what the fuck? Where's it at?
That's where Tom Clancy got the idea.
That's a goddamn Harrison Ford tie-in, too. Holy
shit, it
Although
is.
Although he wasn't in Hunt for Red October.
But Sean Connery was.
Oh, my God. Look at this. This is 6 degrees of Raiders.
Something, yeah.
6 degrees of Raiders.
Yeah, I was going through my shit. I found the board game of 6 degrees of... Kevin Bacon.
Okay. We'll need to fire that up sometime.
Yeah, it's not.
Get
after
it.
It's not a fun game.
No.
It's anyway.
All right.
Well, when I was a kid, it sucked.
Okay.
Now that I'm older, I could probably do it. But yeah. So there we go.
All right. What else do you have there? What else did we mean to talk about?
We also meant to talk about you and your Bell to Lincoln.
Yeah, so you really kind of set me off on this thing when we started talking about the Bell of Lincoln.
All week whiskey. You're sending me shit.
Yeah, so Indiana Jones when he thinks Marion is dead is sitting there and he's having a drink. Right, he's drowning his sorrows. And Ken brought up the fact that the whiskey he's drinking is called Bell of Lincoln, which was released by Jack Daniels in like the 1890s. Right.
Yeah.
Probably to commemorate the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, I would imagine.
They rung his bell.
Yeah, hey-o. So we started talking about the bottle, like what the bottle looked like.
Yeah.
And in the movie, it's really just like a really straight up and straight down standard. It almost looks like a wine bottle.
It has a white label with a red bell on it.
Yeah.
You can clearly see the red bell.
Yeah, so I started thinking about it, and I was like, I wonder if you can buy that actual whiskey. Like, I wanted... The whole thing that got me off on this is I wanted to get some whiskey.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what it tasted like. Because I would bet
The demon whiskey was, like, yeah. possessing you, man.
Yeah, I bet it tasted pretty incredible. And I would think aged, whatever it would be aged to at this point, would be pretty incredible as well. Now, Ken mentioned that it was originally released in, like, the 1890s, and then they re-released it back in 1979 as
like
well.
Like a commemorative
right,
thing.
Right. So I started looking on – I just looked on the internet, frankly, to see if I could find some of the actual whiskey. And nothing came up for the whiskey, but you can get on eBay and buy empty bottles. Right? So you can get an empty bottle from like the 1890s through 1901 or somewhere in there.
How much do those go for, Jay?
They're like $60 for an empty bottle.
Bad?
Which isn't bad.
Well, the thing you sent me was like a commemorative bottle or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, so the one that I sent you was actually from the re-release. And this actually came with paperwork and that kind of stuff that says, you know, here's an official bottle of Bell of Lincoln. Given to you on, and I think the date was January 15th of 1982, right?
Wow.
So whoever got this directly from Jack Daniels. And then, you know, of course, it's empty, right? There's no whiskey in it. But
bastards.
The bottle itself is like just a really cool looking ornate sort of bottle. It's got Jack Daniels like inscribed on the front. The whole thing is glass. The paperwork for it's really cool.
It doesn't look like the bottle in the movie. It's
nothing
totally
like the bottle
different. Yeah.
No, totally different. Really like an ornate, cool sort of bottle. So I'm thinking I might need to add one of those to the Real Booze Bar.
Yeah. I had a feeling it was going to be coming.
I think it might be pretty cool. For that price, I mean, you know, it's not like it's retardedly expensive or anything.
But,
so
you cannot find this particular liquor anywhere.
Well, once I found the bottles, it took me down a different rabbit hole, right? So I stopped looking for the alcohol. I bet you couldn't find. I bet it'd be tough to find for sale some Bell of Lincoln.
Yeah.
You got to keep in mind the last time it was released, if that paperwork is correct, would be 82 at least, right? So that's 30,
and that was a commemorative bottle.
Right. So that's 36 years ago, you know? I can't imagine, you know, my parents have a bottle of like scotch or something underneath their sink that they've had since I was born. But, you know, most people that would buy something like that probably hold on to it. Maybe they drink it at special occasions. You would think it would still be gone 36 years later or whatever it is. So
even if you do a shot for New Year's, that's 36 shots.
Yeah. I don't know how many shots, depending on how big your shots are, right?
Well, it's supposed to be an ounce, but...
If I do it for 36 years, that's 36 shots. If I give you some,
forget about it.
You know, 72 shots.
Sitting here with an ounce glass, filling
it
up.
Right, it's just a mess.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I recommend you get on and look and see what the bottle looks like. It's actually really cool. It's a really cool
slick
bottle with a pretty sweet little, like, corked out lid and that kind of stuff. It's pretty swank.
It was like a carafe or something.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I enjoyed
it.
It
was neat.
I enjoyed it. That's the Bell of Lincoln.
That was your thing.
Yeah.
And then we went over, Tote.
Tote?
Ronald Lacey played Tote, the frog-looking guy.
Do you think he's related to our friend, Ben?
I think he spells his different. Is Ben an EY?
No. No, he's not.
He's an EY.
Okay. Well, fuck this guy then.
Fuck him. He may as well get his face melted off somewhere on an island. So in the movie, his name is T-O-H-T,
okay.
Tote,
mm-hmm.
which I thought meant death in German. It does not mean death in German.
Okay.
T-O-D, which sounds very similar to tote, but it's tote.
Toad?
Tote.
Toad? Toad?
It's toad instead
as opposed
of tote.
To tote?
I don't officially know in German.
So what does tote stand for?
Nothing. I put it into the translator and it doesn't translate. And I was like, why did I think this meant death? Because one of the things I was watching, they were like, it was the way you pronounce his name is very similar to death in German, but it's spelled differently.
I prefer your story, so I think we just stick with it.
We'll just go with that. Yeah.
I mean, that's a great, like, how did Spielberg and Lucas not think of that? Fuck those lame-ass bastards.
We're going to make his name death, but we can't do it. We're going to spell it differently, but it's pronounced the same.
I don't like it.
I'm just, you know.
All right.
I'm just giving you that story.
Listen, I'm not shooting the messenger here.
But you know who does get shot?
No, who?
That's going to be Pat Roach.
Pat Roach, the professional wrestler slash henchman slash mechanic.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I have officially found out, because remember we were arguing. We were like, okay.
We thought he was the guy at the front door that was behind Tote, but that guy was too skinny, right?
The
guy on Tote's left, our right.
But the guy behind Tote, I was like going, I think that's him. They just have him in makeup. He's known
that guy was super duper skinny, though. He was a lot skinnier than he was in the mechanics.
He had the hat on?
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy that Mindy shot in the head when he grabbed that guy's arm. He was holding that dude's arm, and the guy pulled the trigger.
Okay.
That's him.
Not the guy that walks in behind Toad.
Yeah, that's the guy who walked in behind Toad.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I think it is.
I'm going to have to agree
with this. I was looking at pictures
of him
before I came over here.
Yeah, I think you're wrong.
He's known as the Giant Sherpa. He was a hulking sidekick of Arnold
Ernst Tote. That's what I call my
dick
as well, the Giant Sherpa.
Your dick has so many names.
It'll lead you down a path to greatness.
I'm editing it last week, and I'm like, every other word we say something, you're like, that's the name of my dick. Wait, that's the name of my dick.
Yeah.
That's the name of my dick.
It's got a grand reputation across this land of ours. You know,
He's a sidekick of Arnold Ernst Tote, who wrestled Indiana Jones and the Raven in 1936 during Tote's attempt to steal Marion Ravenwood's
Tote's attempt.
Tote's attempt.
Great band name.
Tote's attempt.
Great band name. Right?
What was that? Auschwitz, Train to Auschwitz.
Uber to Auschwitz.
Uber to Auschwitz.
That's another one. That's another one. I'm great at coming up with band names. Nicknames for myself from high school.
Names of your
dick. And names for my dick. That's three things I can do off the bat. I put it on my resume. It doesn't seem to help.
It doesn't. But when you substitute your real name with Butch Thunderbird.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know what you want from me. I'm a legend in my own mind when it comes to these things.
You used to show up to work with a name badge that said Butch Thunderbird.
I've got a bowling jersey with the name Butch Thunderbird.
Fucking A. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
It's a great fucking name.
It's pretty spectacular.
So I think that kind of wraps up. Do you have anything else, any other loose ends that we left that you can think of?
I'm sure there's a ton out there. I really... I wanted to mention... I talked kind of in the prelude to us watching the movie in the intro last week about how George Lucas is really fucking smart. And there was a story that I read that I wanted to talk about during the commentary that I completely whiffed, which is when they signed the contract for the movie, he ended up with 41% ownership of the actual movie, of the movie itself. So he just continues to fucking make money off of this
Jesus
shit.
Christ.
Like, it's nonstop. Yeah. And we, like, I that's why I said at the beginning in the intro that he's really fucking smart, because that's way ahead of its time, right? Like, Jack Nicholson was probably the first person that I remember hearing about for Batman when he played the Joker, of signing, saying, pay me low to make the movie, and then give me merchandising rights, right? Pay me in merchandising, whatever gets made off the movie. And he made a shit ton of money off of that. George Lucas basically did the same thing. He was basically like, I want 41% ownership, or 40%, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it cost $18 million, I think, to make the movie.
Yeah.
And God knows how much it's grossed to this point. He's, I would imagine, still making money off of
it. But I think that's part of LucasArts. Did he sell that?
Maybe. Maybe,
did he hang on to
but
that?
I mean, he did that all the way up. So when did he sell Star Wars and that kind of shit, like LucasArts?
5 years ago?
Yeah, like...
No, 10 years ago.
Yeah, probably like, I was thinking mid-2000s, maybe like 2000, actually, maybe like 2008, 2009.
Which would be 10 years ago.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So he made money off of it all the way from at the time it got released until then, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like the smartest business dealing ever. It's just having the cojones to do it.
There's a book called Raging Bull's Easy Riders.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really thick and really boring.
Okay.
There's also a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about how when these guys were coming to power, when Coppola and Lucas and all those guys were coming up, and they were using the studio against them. So they would do things like that, like, pay me nothing to make this movie, but give me a percentage off of the dollars that came in. Not the gross dollars. No, the gross dollars, not the profit dollars.
Okay.
So if somebody bought a ticket, it went straight to them. It didn't filter through the system first and then, okay, well, there was a profit, X amount of percentage of profits. So they were raking the money. It wasn't until afterwards, you know, when the studio read the contract, they just thought, oh, these guys only want 5%.
Yeah.
No, they want 5% before the dollar hits you.
Right.
It goes from the person seeing the movie
to them,
and then to you.
Yeah.
And that's how in the fuck they did it.
It's crazy, man.
And just used everything against them.
Sneaky little business, dude.
And then another thing was the Wilhelm scream.
Yes, the Wilhelm scream.
You sent me that fucking podcast,
how
dude.
Awesome was that podcast?
Now, here's how awesome it was. When they figured out it was 1951 when the Wilhelm scream was done.
I thought it was in the 50s somewhere.
Yeah, I really thought it was earlier than that. It was who did the Wilhelm scream.
That was the name of the actor?
Who was the actor? They think they know who it was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was the same guy who sung the song One-Eyed, One-Horned, Flying Purple People Eater.
You're right.
Shub Woolley.
Yep, that's right.
Did the fucking Wilhelm.
That's right.
Once I heard that, I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Not to mention, the Minnesota Vikings in the 1970s defense was referred to as the Purple People Eaters. Go on.
And they lost in Arcona Super
Fuck
Bowl.
Off. Go on.
Fucking Philadelphia's.
Yeah, you're totally right. I had completely forgotten about it. And it was because you were kind of on track.
Well, you forgot that the Vikings were going to the Super Bowl.
No, no, no. You were kind of on track when you mentioned that it was like a cowboy getting shot off of his horse.
Yeah.
Right? It was used for that. But I think the original intent of the scream was somebody getting grabbed by an alligator. Right?
I thought they said it was someone took an arrow to the knee, which is why if you play the game Skyrim, the one guy's always like, I was like that until I took an arrow to
the knee. I think that's the first time that people recognized it.
Okay.
And we're like, wait, I've heard that before? I think it was originally recorded as a guy that was getting dragged away by an alligator.
And weren't there four of them?
He did multiple takes, and then he kind of hit the perfect one, right? And then they had him do it a couple more times after that.
That was
if
it.
I recall.
Okay.
And they just stuck with that first one, which now it was in like the Warner Brothers archive, right? I think
you
mentioned
it was
that.
Warner Brothers, yeah.
So it was in that archive forever, and then I can't remember if it's Ben Burtt?
Bill
Burtt. The guy that did the sound for Indiana Jones.
And Star Wars and everything else.
Knew it, right? And he would start to sneak it into his movies. So it's in Star Wars. It's in Indiana Jones. And it was kind of like an inside joke, and people would kind of use it, but it was only in the Warner Brothers archives at that time. And then somebody pulled it out of there somehow, and they've, you know, it's just gone
Star Wars
and
is 20th Century Fox.
Okay, so maybe that was it. Maybe it was in Warner Brothers archives. He remembered
snuck it out,
and then started putting it into his.
He just fucking recorded it, because that guy's a genius. He would just hear fans making weird noises and put a microphone up to it and slow it down, and sounds like a TIE fighter now.
Right. So on the podcast, he actually also mentions that there's a near perfect cut of it where there's no other sound around it, because most of the time you hear it, there's an explosion in the background or there's all sorts of action going on.
Yeah.
But there's one movie that has like a near perfect dead silent cut of it that people go to and they grab it out of there and they start throwing it into movies. And that's probably how you got it on the app on your phone.
No, it's on my app. Yeah. About that fucking air horn app.
The Wilhelm screen. Fucking A.
Yeah. There we go.
That podcast was amazing.
That really was
20,000 hertz.
Yeah.
Get
what else have they done?
They've got a podcast that comes out like bi-weekly. It's amazing.
But all they do is talk about
sounds
and
stuff.
Shit.
Yeah, they talk about sounds for video games and movies and that kind of stuff. The most recent one came out last Sunday, and it was called the 6 o'clock soundtrack, and it was all about music for news.
Oh wow!
Right? Like CBS's news theme or CNN's news theme, things like that.
Holy shit!
Yeah, it was really
crazy.
It's interesting, and the podcast 20 minutes long, maybe at the most. So
unlike ours, which are like 3 hours.
Well, that's what we do.
Yeah. So indie, I think that pretty much. Puts the hat on indie, so to speak.
It cracks that whip.
You gotta whip it.
Whip it good.
But next week, we're going eastbound and down.
Loaded up and trucking?
We're going to do what they say can't be done.
That is the extent of my knowledge on Smokey and the Bandit.
You've seen it before.
The movie came out in 1977. I was 1 year old.
Okay.
I remember seeing it on HBO and stuff when I was a child. I can't say that I have sat down and watched it and enjoyed it.
I already started watching documentaries today.
Okay.
And let me tell you what. Burt Reynolds is fucking old.
Have you seen him recently?
There's a documentary called The Bandit, which is about him and his stunt guy.
Okay.
Which I really want to watch because they mic over some Hooper shit, right?
I've
seen it before. They fucking better. And that interview with him, because he was all reminiscing about this guy and stuff, was done 2-3 years ago. And right. He just was all like, he had the Rock Hudson look going on, you know, just like fucking looked like a stick figure with big glasses. Like he had AIDS, yeah, except okay. In Burt Reynolds' case, it's not AIDS. It's just he's a billion years old.
Is there more to the story? Or
that's it.
That really just fucking died off.
Well, how did it die off?
Well, you were like, you just
I watched said a documentary, old,
and that was it. I thought you were gonna say about how there was a plethora of information in there, and it was really fucking cool.
Oh no, it was like little snippets and stuff because I can't find anything solid yet. But that's where I learned that fucking documentary's out there. So I'm like, all right, I'll watch that documentary. And then there is a book called "Letters to Burt Reynolds."
You've told me about that. I think we talked about that during Hooper, actually.
We probably did, yeah.
It's about girls that he fucked, right? Something like that?
No, it's about women who would send him letters.
Okay.
And they were rubbing him all over their vag and
say,
oh, dude, let me tell you what.
That's some stinky, stinky stationery.
Oh, God.
Another great band name.
It's like, why are there cats all over the place? I don't know. Every time the mailman shows up, dogs don't chase them, cats do. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, so I am basically going to say the next time I watch Smokey and the Bandit will be like the first time I'm watching Smokey and the Bandit. I have not. It's been a long fucking time since I've seen it. So I'll get into it. I'll find some shit about it. I'm going to enjoy it.
Well, you're going to Jackie Gleason shit, dude. Because Jackie Gleason.
Okay.
Because his career pretty much came back with that
because
movie.
Of Smokey and the Bandit?
Yeah, because
I will tell you it's got late 70s Sally Field, which is my favorite era of Sally Field.
Yeah.
You know,
of all the changes Sally Field has gone through, that's like the best metamorphosis.
Yeah,
for
and she
fame.
Was like, I think if I remember right from Hooper, she was like mid to late 30s back then.
Looking Holy good. Shit.
Yeah.
And then in the 90s, she was Forrest Gump's mom.
Yeah, I would have fucked her then, too. I'd fuck her on these goddamn commercials she's got going on. You'd
fuck her with her walker right now.
Yeah, I would, man. I'd fucking crack that hip. Da-na-na-na-na.
I've fallen. I can't get up. You don't need to.
Well, so I'm looking forward to it, man. I think Smokey and the Bandit will be a good time. This is just going to be you and me again? We're going to bring any special
Probably.
Guests?
Probably. I mean, if Dan's around, we can definitely bring Dan
Mopar
is a, Man.
Yeah, the Mopar Man might need to be here for that one.
But it's all Pontiacs and shit.
Pontiac? Dodge Pontiac?
The Dodge Pontiac.
I mean...
The Calumet. Yeah.
It's from there.
The Pontiac Tribe.
All right, we might need to get Dan the Mopar Man.
Yeah. There was something like... There was a specific Trans Am that they used, and I was half listening to one of the things today about some 8,000-year-old guy they were interviewing, and I was there on set when they filmed it, and they had something like 7 of these cars. They hadn't even been released yet. They were like some hot rod supered up. Another guy was talking. They interviewed as 1,000 years old. Like, yeah, they did that jump, and that thing hit the ground, and fucking wheels fell off. Yeah, they're telling all sorts of crazy stories. So, because I know there's one part in the movie we'll get into where, like, they almost killed a bunch of fucking people.
Okay, it was
yeah,
the late 70s.
Big goddamn surprise, right? Yeah, no shit. So we'll get into all that stuff then. So next week, Smokey and the Bandit.
I will also tell you, if you haven't seen the movie The Goods, Live Hard, Sell Hard with Jeremy Piven, you might want to pull that up because one of the main plot points of that is the bandit car.
I forgot about that.
Oh, dude, it's so fantastic.
Dude.
It's so good. The bandit car. Major plot point in that movie. I love that movie. I think it's hilarious.
Well, it's Jeremy Piven.
Yeah, it's directed by a guy named Neil Brennan, who was Dave Chappelle's partner when they did the Chappelle Show together.
Oh, wow, okay.
He's a comedian. It's a hilarious movie, so I would recommend pulling that up and giving that a little view at some point as well.
Yeah, I think that'll work. How long are we? 30 minutes?
Yeah, 23 minutes.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's not
I think
too bad.
That's good.
All
kind
right.
of reviewed everything, so.
All right.
I guess we'll give it a salty beef.
Tips.
Tips.